This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Phones in schools, might see more of them get locked up, put away. Kamala Harris, can she win Georgia? But first, to the five, we got a big closure.
Because of a big rig, crashed French fries all over the freeway and some other stuff. This is the South 5 right at Stadium Way over by Dodger Stadium. Susie, when is it going to open?
Well, you know what? I did call up Caltrans and they said call back around 8 a.m. That's when originally they were scheduled to open up this sigilant that's been going on since the 3 o'clock hour. Southbound 5, all lanes closed at Stadium Way. Again, French fries all over lanes, as well as 100 gallons of diesel fuel. So it's a hazmat situation. That's the concern. Nothing's going into the drains, but Caltrans said, you know what, we're going to get a better idea at 8 a.m. Originally, they were going to open this up at 8, but the southbound 5, if you're stuck in this, you're going to be sort of cordoned off into the Stadium Way collector roads. And again, southbound side of the 5, it is jammed from the 134. Northbound lanes affected as well. I'm going to give you a lot of alternates, Mike and Vicky, coming up at 735.
All right, Susie, thanks. Cell phone ban for LA Unified goes into effect January 1st. And it looks like all the other districts in the state are going to have to come up with something pretty similar, because there's this bill. Lawmakers have approved it. It's going to go to the governor, and they might have to ban their phones too. John Baird is live in Long Beach, second largest school district in the area. John?
Well, Long Beach kids just returned to the classroom a couple of days ago, and they're arriving here at a middle school, Stevens Middle School. Now, the district has 85 campuses, so that's a lot of kids and a lot of fingers to pry off those cell phones. But under this law, if the governor signs it, school districts all around California are going to have to draft their own policies restricting or banning cell phone use at school. But they have about 2 years to get a policy in place, and they will be able to enforce the ban. Now, I've been talking to people grabbing coffee this morning who, for the most part, believe that taking the cell phones away from kids at school is the right move.
No, I think it's a great idea. I don't think they should be having their phones in class anyways, you know what I mean? So, I mean, other than the calculator, but, I mean, you can grab a calculator at the store. So, yeah, I agree with that.
Lawmakers cited a number of reasons for restricting cell phone use at school, including concerns over anxiety and depression and bullying from always being on phones and social media. They also say there's evidence that similar bans in France and Spain actually led to higher test scores among students.
State lawmakers have approved a bill that could make undocumented immigrants eligible for affordable housing assistance. Under the plan, people who meet all other requirements for a loan under a state program offering assistance to be first-time homebuyers would not be disqualified based on their immigration status. Democrats say the bill is not about immigration policies, but about fairness and addressing the housing crisis. While Republicans say the state should prioritize housing assistance for families who are in the country legally, the bill now goes to the governor's desk, who has until the end of September to sign it.
Newport Beach, the latest in Orange County to tighten up the anti-camping laws after the Supreme Court ruling lets the local governments crack down more on the homeless encampments. Council members voting unanimously to amend the current laws, include more prohibitions against sleeping in public places, blocking the streets and the sidewalks. Council member Lauren Kleinman says it's an urgent problem, also public safety.
The bottom line is we need to use every tool available to get people off the street. But we also need to use every tool available to protect the rights and safety of everyone else in our community.
A lot of support from people speaking out at the meeting, but critics are saying the more aggressive efforts are going to just criminalize the homeless, actually make homelessness even worse. Policy changes faces one more vote before it goes into effect.
Opening statement set later this morning in the murder trial of a guy who's accused of stabbing to death a UCLA grad student. Happened almost 3 years ago. She was inside a furniture store on La Brea, working there by herself at the time when it happened. He was seen on security video walking around the store through a back alley and was seen shopping at other places before and after her murder. He's homeless, could get life in prison without parole if convicted as charged.
Two men charged with Johnny Wachter's murder set to be arraigned this morning. Alleged gunman could get life in prison without parole if convicted. Prosecutors say the suspects tied to a notorious South LA gang implicated themselves in jailhouse discussions. He was shot to death as they were trying to steal his catalytic converter. Two others facing lesser charges. 20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs. Kamala Harris going to sit down for that first interview since becoming the nominee in July. She and Tim Walz Walls, the running mate, going to sit down with Dana Bash on CNN tonight. Comes as Harrison Walls are on the two-day bus tour of Georgia. We talked with Democratic strategist Nina Smith in Georgia about the interview and the tour.
Kamala Harris has been in what some have described as the honeymoon phase since she took on the nomination. But criticism is starting to build, not only with Republicans, but with Democrats, over the fact that she hasn't done a live, unscripted interview. So she's doing this one, but alongside Tim Walz. A CNN reporter recently said that she would expect someone who has a nuclear codes to be able to handle a live interview and answer spontaneous questions. Why do you think Kamala Harris isn't doing this on her own?
Well, first of all, there's a tradition, a long time tradition of having joint interviews after a presidential ticket is fully revealed to the American public. It's something that has been done, I think, going all the way back to at least the Obama administration, perhaps even further back than that. This is a rather truncated version of a campaign, and unprecedented in many ways. And so, you know, I think the expectation here, I think, is being applied to what we would typically see in a campaign. And this isn't the situation currently. This is a historic moment. And I think you'll be seeing solo interviews from the vice president very, very soon.
Republicans hitting her hard, though, saying she can't do it herself. Do you think the voter on the street is really going to care that Tim Walz is there, too? Or is this more of a, you know, politics, beltway, media conversation?
I think it's absolutely a beltway conversation. And I think the Trump campaign is desperate to find any weakness they can at this point. They're facing a candidate who is surging, and there is, prior to the switch at the top of the ticket, there was definitely a hunger for a new candidate and a new voice to come into the presidential race. And the Democrats have offered the American public that. And so I think there's going to be more curiosity about the vice president. I think you'll continue to see her getting out there on the trail, having conversations with voters directly, reaching voters where they are, but also, again, engaging in the traditional campaign process that involves solo interviews and the like. And then there's also the debate coming up on September 10th, where the American public will get yet another opportunity to see the contrast between these two candidates.
It's been a feel-good campaign so far. Good vibes. Is that enough for voters
Absolutely.
In Georgia?
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's something that is helpful. I think it's going to drive the base, and it's going to help activate folks to volunteer to go and get more voters to engage in the process. And that is something that in Georgia is has a proven knock-on effect in the past. And I think as long as the investment continues to come, as long as, the infrastructure that we have in the state is powered to win, victory is very much possible in the state of Georgia. And again, the changing demographics of the state, general disdain, even from folks who don't traditionally vote Democrat, makes it a place that's ripe for opportunity for the Harris campaign.
Democratic strategist Nina Smith.
Minutes of nonstop news continues, and we're going to talk about Gloria Molina Day in Los Angeles.
Yeah, local trailblazer. Paved the way for a bunch of others. Here's Emily Valdez. It is officially Gloria Molina Day.
If you grew up in L.A., you know the name, Gloria Molina. She was a state assembly member, then an L.A. city council member, and in 1991 was elected to be the first woman to ever serve on the L.A. County Board of Supervisors. But the road from her humble roots in Pico Rivera wasn't easy.
There is such tremendous difficulties, even when you look back at what she had to endure to get there.
LA City Council member Monica Rodriguez.
And then subsequently, once she got there, the obstacles and the resistance that she was met with to help just make sure that Latinos had a voice in their local government.
The LA City Council chose today because it is also the anniversary of the Chicano moratorium, which they say inspired Molina to a life of activism and leadership. Molina died last year at the age of 74.
They'll unveil a mural, have an art exhibit opening, and the premiere of a tribute play in Boyle Heights for Molina.
Something to know if you're thinking about visiting the Grand Canyon. CBS News correspondent Stephen Kaufman says sudden breaks in a major water line force some closures. It'll affect a lot of people who've been planning to check out the Grand Canyon.
Happening just before the busy Labor Day holiday weekend. All lodging accommodations along the Grand Canyon South Rim are closed until further notice. Multiple locations inside Grand Canyon National Park are impacted by four significant breaks in the 12.5-mile-long water line that supplies water from the canyon for use in the park.
Yeah, the park itself will still be open for people to visit, but they'll have to spend their nights at hotels or motels outside the park's limits.
CIA played a big role in the investigation led to the cancellation of the three Taylor Swift concerts in Vienna because of the terror threat. Here's Stacey Lynn.
CIA Deputy Director David Cohen says the suspects with ISIS connections sought to kill tens of thousands of fans. But thanks to intelligence the agency discovered and shared with Austrian authorities, the plot was stopped and four suspects were arrested.
Swift says she was devastated about having to call those off, but no choice considering the potential danger.
The Treasury Department has issued new regulations aimed at making it harder for criminals to launder money by paying cash for residential real estate. Under the new rules, investment advisors and real estate professionals will be required to report cash sales of residential real estate. The new disclosure rules come as part of an ongoing effort to combat money laundering and the movement of dirty money through the American financial system, as all cash purchases of residential real estate are considered a high risk for money laundering.
We've been waiting for that big SpaceX launch and the spacewalk. Blue Origin got some people up there, six civilians who are now astronauts. They went up out of Texas. Yeah, rockets. Short suborbital flight, about 10 minutes you get up there from the moment of launch to the safe touchdown. But during that period, you get the weightlessness, several minutes of that, and you get the views of the Earth below as you get to more than 60 miles above.
A listeria outbreak linked to deli meat has now killed at least 9 people throughout the country.
The Boar's Head deli meats have been recalled, but not before putting at least 57 people in the hospital in 18 states and 9 deaths reported, with 2 in South Carolina and 1 each in Illinois, New Jersey, Virginia, Florida, Tennessee, New Mexico, and New York. U.S. Department of Agriculture inspectors turned up dozens of violations at a Boar's Head plant in Virginia, according to new records released by the department. Violations include mold, mildew, and insect repeatedly found throughout the site. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
California officials encouraging people to carry Narcan to deal with fentanyl. Natalie Tavidian reports on a new statewide campaign.
If this fire is a fentanyl overdose,
here's what you can expect to see from the campaign, the state's health department's latest efforts to reduce fentanyl overdose death.
Naloxone is the extinguisher that stops it.
The ad will be online, on billboards, on TV.
Does carrying naloxone make you a person who uses drugs?
No. It aims to reduce the stigma of carrying naloxone, which can reverse ODing on fentanyl. It's now the leading cause of death among Californians ages 25 to 54. California Department of Public Health Director Tomas Aragon.
In 2023, there were over 8,000 opioid-related overdose deaths in California. Over 90% of these overdoses involve fentanyl.
The Department of Public Health says there is a lot of misinformation out there, specifically when it comes to using naloxone, the life-saving nasal spray.
And help save lives at FactsFightFentanyl.org.
They're encouraging people to carry it so bystanders can help prevent fentanyl overdose deaths in the future.
20 minutes of nonstop news. COVID vaccines are out. If you want one, the new ones, hopefully to get us through the fall. Let's bring in somebody we used to talk to all the time. UC San Francisco's Dr. Peter Chin Hong.
Doctor, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on.
So there's a whole menu of shots out there that we can get right now. This COVID shot that's available, what's it going to do for me? Do I really need to get it? Not going to lie, haven't had a shot for a while.
I think that the reason why I think it's kind of a interesting time to get the shot, of course, for most people, is that it's closely matched to what's circulating. And because we haven't started to really go down in California, if you're planning a big trip or a family reunion or, you know, something where you really need to not be infected, it's a good time to get it. However, if I had my druthers, I'd get it in October because, again, because it's closely resembling what's circulating, it can kind of give you a force field, not only against serious disease, but infection for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks after. When you think about Thanksgiving and holidays and New Year's and travel, who wants to get sick? But of course, for those who are older or immune compromised, it could be really life-saving.
So maybe wait for some of us until like it's flu shot time anyways, then you can get them both at the same time?
Yeah, kill two birds with one stone. In fact, next year in 2025, there'll be two shots, two vaccines in one needle, a combined shot. So again, whatever it's convenient for people, go ahead and do it. But again, if you had a choice, get it with the flu shot. You only have to go in once. Stock up on your Cadbury's chocolate, your Halloween candy, and you know, get over with it.
Yeah, yeah.
The doctor says to eat candy.
I love that. So when I was getting the COVID shots, doctor, I mean, I had to kind of carve out a weekend because the effects of the shot were worse than when I actually got COVID, at least in my case. Has that changed at all, or am I still going to have to carve out a weekend to get this shot because I'm going to feel terrible?
I think the longer time between shots makes some people feel less symptoms. And the other advice I would normally give people is if you have terrible symptoms with one kind of vaccine, which is mRNA, for example, Pfizer, Moderna, try the Novavax. It's a really good vaccine. It's a traditional vaccine versus an mRNA. And, you know, or you can switch back and forth between them if you've had symptoms with one. But usually, you know, because it's been a longer time before the last shot to this one, you know, chances are you're not going to have as many symptoms. But again, you wouldn't feel that badly about using Tylenol or ibuprofen. In the early days, people were worried that you would dampen the immune system. But at this point, it probably wouldn't make much of a difference.
Are we still on that flirt variant, or are we off to a new one? And because, you know, I ask because, you know, some people are thinking, okay, well, if I get COVID over the summer, there's gonna be a summer wave. Maybe it's like a summer cold. A few days, I'll be done. But some people are like, wow, this thing hit me hard.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's still variable how it hits people, and we're still in the flirt family. They just changed the guard from what some of the earlier flirts to a KP.3.1.1. I know a lot of numbers and letters, but that's kind of what's ruling the roost right now. So that's where we are, and we hope that if it's resembling what's coming in the winter, again, this vaccine is meant to help for the winter, even though we have a lot going on now, because there's a lot more other stuff going on in the winter. And if you, you know, kind of prevent one, chances are you're not going to have like interactions and get duly sick, which is possible.
Super fast. Is the flu shot good this year? Is it effective?
The flu shot is good this year. We think it's going to resemble what's going to circulate. There are three types instead of four. So, you know, I think everyone thinks it's going to be a good good match for what's going to be circulating.
UC San Francisco's Dr. Peter Chin Hong. Thanks.